WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Student Section Podcast back at you. Tanner, what did you think about the first week of college football? What struck your eye?
I think my favorite game was probably, it's pretty easy to say, that LSU game.
Yeah.
That was just pretty hard to describe the way that game ended.
That was a classic.
Obviously, got a feel for the kicker in any situation that happens. That's just brutal. But overall, I think for me, the game I probably had the most fun watching was Florida-Utah.
Yeah.
I think Anthony Richardson, he seems notably improved from last year.
Very much so.
So,
and I've seen somebody saying first pick, which was...
First pick.
First pick's a stretch. Yeah. First pick's a stretch. Yeah. But
I really like the way he looked. I mean, the athleticism that guy has is just unreal. Even on times where just he's getting hit, the zip he can still put on a football and get it in play for his receivers is so impressive to me. And I think he did that well against Utah. Obviously, I know everyone thought Utah was going to win that game. But
I did.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you'd be right, too. It made sense. But I was really impressed with that Florida team.
That play that he made on the two-point conversion, too. Oh, the pump fake was unbelievable.
And that long touchdown run he had, was that like 50-plus? I was just watching. I was like, dude, he's not normal.
He had a couple more plays in the open field, too, where it wasn't a touchdown, but he'd still get 20 yards, and he earned every single yard.
Yeah. He has a lot of those wow plays. You'll just be watching him. It'll just be a normal game, and then I know where he just does something that's just like, okay, like this guy's obviously a better athlete than everybody out here.
He's going to be must-watch TV, I think, the rest of the year. I mean, he's insane.
Yeah, what game caught your eye?
West Virginia-Pittsburgh was to start off the week. I mean, there's a lot of turnovers. It was definitely sloppy at times. But it was just a great way to get college football going. And then Pitt ended the game with that big pick. And then obviously LSU Florida State was crazy. The last 3 minutes of that game was, that was the best of the weekend for sure.
I definitely agree. That Pittsburgh game with both of the USC transfers with Slovis and JT Daniels. Mm-hmm. JT Daniels, he had one of those games where if you just look at the stat line, he didn't have a killer game. But if you watch the game, you're like, okay, he looks pretty good out there. Slovis had about 308 yards and a touchdown. Mm-hmm. And Pittsburgh looks good again. They do look good again after losing first round quarterback Kenny Pickett.
Yeah. And Jordan Addison too. I thought they were going to be a lot worse without Jordan Addison.
Yeah. What a bum. Just jump ship. What y'all think of the SC game? Did y'all catch any of that?
The SC game?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, you give a little bit on it. I think it seems like you watched it.
The 66-14. Yeah, they played Bryce and it was 66-14. I think that's kind of what I expected, obviously, against Rice because it's Rice. But Caleb Williams looked good out there. He had 68 rushing yards and 250 passing yards. Mm-hmm. Jordan Addison had hauled in two touchdowns. Mm-hmm. And the running back that they got from Oregon, what's that guy's name?
Running back
Die.
Die. Oh,
he didn't have a big game. I don't think they had much utilized him. But I do think Lincoln Riley, that I think USC in his first year could probably win the Pac-12.
I think he could. I obviously think there's going to be some growing pains because it's a first-year coach. Obviously, he's worked with Caleb Williams before. But, an entirely new program. I honestly thought there was going to be more growing pains than we saw.
Yeah, I agree. They looked better.
It's Rice.
Yeah.
Not going to,
take it with a grain of rice.
Exactly. Right, so. I think the Stanford game will be a lot more interesting.
Yeah, I agree. Is that at Stanford? Or is it?
I think it's at Stanford.
That'll be a tough game.
I'm curious to see how their defense holds up. I mean, we knew Lincoln Riley was going to come in and have an explosive offense.
Yeah, that's what we
Let's see. Yeah. I'm curious to see. I mean, Stanford's not a huge test, but it's definitely better than Rice. So I'm curious to see how their defense holds up.
I completely agree. So, touched on a few of the games. One game that we would be remiss to not bring up is the defending national champions, Georgia. Mm-hmm. Absolutely embarrassing the Oregon Ducks on TV. It was in Atlanta, but I think that they could have played in Oregon with zero Georgia fans and probably had about a similar outcome. So,
probably.
What'd y'all think about the Oregon game?
I mean, I was thinking Bo Nix may finally produce.
Do some magic.
do something. But, man, I don't know what it is. He just – there are reads that just you can't justify as a – I don't think anyone on that team can justify some of the reads that he made that turned into I think it was two interceptions that he had.
Yeah, yeah. Two picks. 173 yards. He went 21 for 37.
Yeah, it was
21 for 37.
Obviously, no touchdown. They didn't score a touchdown as a team, which is. Do you think that was more of Georgia being, obviously, I mean, don't get me wrong, Georgia's a number three ranked team, but a lot of people thought with the amount of talent in the first round and the legendary defense that they had that they would probably take a scale back. So do you think that was more of Georgia being somewhat underrated or more of Oregon being overrated?
I Georgia just showed up. I mean, I think if anyone underrated them this year, I think
they're scary.
Yeah.
I think it was a little of both.
I think it was definitely a little bit of both. I think Oregon was definitely underwhelming.
Yeah, they're not the 11th
and
best.
And Georgia, I mean, we'll wait, see if once they play a better team, but they showed that they're here to stay.
Georgia's just, I think the scariest part about that team this year is those tight ends.
Dude, their tight ends are
terrifying.
They're all like first round talents.
Exactly.
Is the crazy thing.
Brock Bowers. Who were the other two guys?
Darnell Washington's one of them.
Darnell Washington.
And then there's the other guy that's like super big. They're all like crazy.
I think it's. Is it a Reed Gilbert?
Yes.
I think it's.
Was it Florida?
Yeah, he's like the
mega five star.
6'6, like 250.
Yeah.
Hurdle a guy in the open field last game. I think something like that happened. That team is.
Malachi starts the freshman cornerback a dog.
Jalen
Carter.
Jalen
dog.
Carter. The dog. What he did to that. The guy he just threw to the ground was like a senior, like 6'6".
He treated him like
pounds.
A nobody.
Yeah, he treated him like he's never played football before.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous.
And Bowers wasn't even that involved. He only had two receptions, four targets for
38 yards.
Which was surprising, I'm sure.
Stetson Bennett, I think Stetson Bennett has gotten a lot of hate, but
he's
Stetson Bennett for Heisman, mate.
Listen, I
maybe not
I,
that far, but
maybe
he
not
definitely
that
looks
more.
Good.
He's I see the numbers.
He looks really good.
He looked good. As
he is 28 though.
He's entering his 18th year.
Yeah. How long is he gonna be the QB?
But I think as an athlete, he looked a lot better.
For sure, 100%.
That one touchdown he threw to McConkey.
I think so.
That was crazy. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think just he was visibly putting more zip on the ball.
Yeah.
He was weirdly so much better in the backfield under pressure.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, he was way more of a playmaker than I've ever seen.
He's got a little swagger now.
Exactly.
He does. He gets one championship and he thinks he's that guy.
Exactly.
Yeah, but I mean, on a serious note, with us saying he's been there 18 years, it's his third, fourth year in the program, 6th year in college.
Yeah.
And it shows.
I think he's 24 years old now.
Yeah, 24. Kirby Smart spoke to that after the game that it shows how you can see out there that he's a general and he's completely over the team. So Georgia's gonna be scary. Another biggest game of the week was obviously the top five matchup between Ohio State and Notre Dame in the Shoe. So what'd you guys think about that one?
I was expecting I know Notre Dame, you know, they're the fifth seed, they're a good team, but I was honestly expecting, mainly because of that Rose Bowl.
Yeah.
Everyone
Smith
thought
and Jigba.
That Smith and Jigba and CJ Stroud were just going to have a ridiculous game.
Yeah.
And Smith and Jigba is so talented as a
receiver. He's the best receiver
in
the country.
He is so good.
A nice margin.
Exactly. A lot of people were giving CJ Stroud first pick hype. Or first quarterback, at least hype.
Heisman.
And, exactly. And, like, don't get me wrong, that guy is so talented, and he is so good at placing that ball. But he didn't especially impress me this game, personally. Again, maybe my expectations – he still had a good game. My expectations were probably too high, to be fair. But overall, I think it was still a good game from Ohio State. But I think, personally, I would like to see a little bit more from CJ Stroud based on the hype. But
what did you think, Zach?
I thought it was going to be more of a blowout, to be honest. I was surprised that Notre Dame was able to
– hang around?
Yeah, to be honest. New head coach. I think they're actually – they could have a decent year this year. Ohio State was definitely underwhelming, in my opinion.
See, it's funny that Ohio State being underwhelming, I would say, is the general consensus. Everybody, you know, kind of took away from that game. But I watched that game. I watched the entire game. And I really, honestly, I left with a different thought than everybody else. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of everybody expected them to win by 21, 28. I said before the game that I thought Marcus Freeman is going to be a better coach than Brian Kelly. I don't know about maybe the games that he should win, but I think Marcus Freeman is going to be a much better big game coach. Yeah. I think that a lot of the big games that they've been in that they just get tortured and thrown around and bullied, I don't think with Marcus Freeman that's going to be as regular. I think they're going to be very competitive.
I agree.
And another thing, we talked about Ohio State and Smith and Jigba and obviously Stroud and Trevion Henderson and Marvin Harrison. They got a big four like there that can compete with anybody. They're going to improve. They're not going to score 21 points at home again probably the entire year.
Yeah, you're probably right about that.
Jim Knowles, the guy, the DC that came over from Oklahoma State, I know it's game one, but, I mean, they look, their defense looked good. And I think if Ohio State's defense plays like that the entire year with obvious improvement to the offense, they're obviously going to be much better. And I still think probably have the best offense in the nation that Ohio State is going to be very dangerous.
They definitely have the talent. They definitely have the talent on the offense.
Yeah, they for sure have the talent. And Michigan looked good. Clemson, what do y'all think about Clemson?
I mean,
DJ's –
yeah.
Underwhelming category.
I mean,
would it be rude to say trash?
I don't know if he's underwhelming because he was underwhelming last year.
It's true.
So it's tough to say he's still underwhelming.
Why is he getting hyped that he don't deserve it?
He does get a lot of hype. That's the only reason I say that.
I think a bunch of people are like, oh, you know, I know he had a bad year last year, but, you know, this is his year.
I think it's just going to be a big difference.
Exactly.
With his coordinator leaving, so it doesn't kind of like, there's like no merit to it.
Exactly. I wasn't super impressed by Clemson.
Yeah.
They're playing Georgia Tech.
Right.
So, you know. But overall, not much I took away from that game, though, is
worthy.
Exactly.
What'd you think? Do you have any thoughts on him?
Yeah, same thing. I mean, yeah, he gets a lot of hype, and we have yet to see
where it's.
I mean, there's been a couple flashes. I remember maybe it was a couple times when he came in when Trevor Lawrence got hurt, and he showed flashes.
His freshman year, he was like, yeah. He was him.
Yeah. But since he's been the starter these last 2 years, I don't think we've seen that as much.
No, I completely agree. If I had a quick takeaway from that game, it would be, and it was only one position, but I think that the 5-star freshman, Klubnik, is, I think he should be the starter.
Yeah.
I think he's better than DJ.
Wow.
Uiagalelei.
How many weeks are you giving DJ?
Yesterday. last week should be his last week.
Yeah. I don't know, I mean according to this kid, Klubnik came in, he had 6 attempts, 4 completions, 50 yards. I don't know when he came in that game.
He came in towards the end. I want to say like one of the last drives, but I know they scored, right? He threw a touchdown on that drive.
Yeah, he did throw a touchdown on the drive. So, I mean, that's a good start at least.
Yeah, perfect.
And also, I mean, you got to move on from DJ at some point. You know what I mean? You have to make some other decision. You're still a good program. I don't think you can sit there and justify watching him be, you know, not a great athlete.
But then we also have to remember they did win pretty easily.
Dude, that's one of those games where they've won by 31, but like,
I know what I'm saying?
Like the game was a little closer than the score probably represented.
Mm-hmm. I agree. 100%.
But with that being said, that's kind of a recap of college football. We're going to take a minor break, come back, and talk about the playoff expansion, get into a little preview of what's coming up this week with college football, and then a little Bama-Texas preview. So we'll be right back.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
We're back here to talk about the playoff expansion. So obviously we got the news the other day that in 2026 that the college football playoff is going to go from 4 teams to 12 teams. So Zach, what do you think about that expansion, that 8-team expansion?
I'm a huge fan. I it's going to bring a lot of excitement to smaller programs, teams that even aren't as that good that year or are as good that year, but didn't get a chance to play good teams.
Right.
I think having the home games for that first round at that home team's stadium is going to be huge. It's going to bring so much hype to that town for that week.
Oh yeah.
So that's what I'm a huge fan of. I'm curious to see what you guys have to say.
What do you think? You can go ahead.
I think if I had my choice of whether it happened or not, I probably would have not wanted it to happen.
Oh,
personally.
Really? Why so?
I think that the most fun football to watch, or I think what made a lot of people like college football more than NFL football, is how much the regular season matters. Those regular season games were almost like playoff games.
That's what college football is built
on. Like last season when Alabama lost that A&M game, everyone was like, this could mean we missed the playoffs because of how competitive those top four teams are.
Yeah.
And I will say, because of how important the playoffs have become, it has taken away the importance of bowl games.
Completely.
Which previously would have still made these seasons matter for those lower teams.
True.
It gives them still something to walk away with the season.
Yeah.
That being said, now that it is done, I think 12 teams was the number. I think it's, I don't think you should go any more or any less than that.
No.
If you're gonna expand. But I think what they should do is put in bowl games in the like second, third rounds of these playoffs.
Yeah.
Because I think if you make those bowl games, then like kind of like in March Madness, how you know they walk away with banners of we made the Final Four, Sweet 16, Elite Eight, etc. Right. I think if you have those, then you can have teams who had a good year like Cincinnati last year. They can walk away with something to show for it.
Yeah.
I agree. That'd be a huge help for that playoff.
Like it gets them a playoff win.
Exactly. It'd be a huge help for that playoff for the look of that team. I think it'd be really more rewarding.
And then kind of along with that, you have say a team that is the 12 seed, they're playing in that first round, they win two games and they make it to the Final Four. That could be a huge accomplishment for that team to be able to get to the opportunity to play Bama in the
If you win two games, would they be in the championship? Will they not?
Well, it depends on your seed.
So if you're the 12 seed, you got to win four games? Or am I missing it?
Yeah, they got to win four games to 12 seed, but like first seed, I think
you'll win.
First four have a bye. At least that's the top four setup
seeds,
I saw.
Top four seeds have a bye, and then you meet up with the winner of those.
Yeah. So I think it's
four games. If you don't have a bye the first round.
I thought it was three because you go 5-12, then you go on to play. Oh no, we can look it up. We'll find out in a second. But I think my opinion, I try to see when it's stuff like this, I try to see, both sides of the scale. So as a Bama fan, you could probably see why there's no reason for a playoff expansion.
Yeah.
Given that Alabama's going to make playoffs probably not out of every 10 years. They made it every year but one. I think it is good overall for college football. I think that 12 might have been a little much. I was more of on the – nobody gave six. I always thought six would be good, but nobody thought six would be good. So I was good with eight. Now it's 12, which a big component of it for myself is I don't think that are there 12 teams that can actually win a national championship. I think at the very most each year there's six.
Yeah.
There's been a few years where there was like, okay, these six teams are different.
Yeah.
But like that's rare. The last year I remember that was 2014 when Ohio State, Baylor, and TCU were fighting for a playoff spot, and obviously the three that were in. But I just don't know. I think 12 might be a bit much, but I do think the playoffs they'll be improved because right now the playoffs, just to be quite honest, they're bad.
Yeah.
Everybody
knew
that Alabama was gonna beat Cincinnati and they won by 21. Everybody knew that Georgia was gonna beat Michigan. Mm-hmm. It's every year, the championship's usually a competitive game, but the playoff games are usually very underwhelming and not fun to watch, especially given when you watch the NFL playoffs and they're just like, they're perfect. They're amazing.
Yeah. I agree with everything you just said. I just think that those lower seeded games, that first round of the 12-team playoffs,
they're
just
going
to be so exciting.
I agree.
It could be teams that never play each other.
Right.
They get the opportunity to play in this game that has a lot of stakes.
Yeah.
A chance to move on in the playoffs. So that's what excites me about it. But I agree. Every year, there's usually only like two or three teams that could actually win it.
Yeah. For example, last year, the 12th seed was Pitt. And
they were nice. Kenny Pickett in playoffs.
That was
a
good program. That combo of Kenny Pickett and Jordan Addison was fun to watch. But I don't think they advanced super far in that playoffs. But the bracket, it is four games. So last year, for example, let's say you're Pitt.
Yeah.
You start out, you play your game, you're a 12th seed, so you're playing the 5th seed.
Right.
So you play them, and then your next round, you play the 4th seed, which was Cincinnati last year. So that's your second game you play against Cincinnati.
Yeah.
And then you'll play Alabama or the winner of the other side.
Yeah, yeah.
Then in the that'll be your third game. That'll be the semifinals, and the fourth game is the championship. So it is four games.
Which with that, the season automatically has to be shortened.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Exactly.
What do y'all think a good – with the going off of the playoff would be a good, season layout? I think 10 regular season games. I wouldn't mind if they played all – if Bama – played all SEC. Maybe one big out-of-conference game.
So it would be 10 regular season, SEC championship 11, and then
I mean
three playoff games, 14. Yeah. It's at that number
because they're not going to be more than likely.
And then so
be 1-4.
So a team that say isn't top four, they play that 10 games. They play in their conference championship, and then they'd have to win four games.
So that puts you at 15.
Yeah, which is not which is that number.
That's absurd.
Which I mean, I don't think that they'll play more than 15. You think so?
I do
more
than
15
so.
Would
no,
be.
Yeah,
and I think a 10 game regular season is perfect.
Yeah,
I don't
yeah.
think.
Was that the number for the 2020 season?
I believe so, yeah, because we had a 10-team SEC schedule.
Yeah.
Which was fun.
Yeah,
because they end up going 13-0.
Yeah,
exactly. SEC championship and then the two playoff games. Because, I mean, like this week, for example, the Utah State game and then not this week but the next, Louisiana Monroe, like, I mean, they completely helped those programs that Alabama are playing. But, like, what do they do for Alabama? I guess they get experience, but, like, would you rather not have experience against an SEC opponent?
Yeah.
And then, like, I feel like it just gives a lot of injuries, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. I think it'll make rankings – I think it'll probably make rankings weird if you play exclusively in conference.
Yeah.
Because that's why people – that's why there's a big argument for Cincinnati not being super highly ranked last year. Obviously, they deserved to be four. They were a good team. But a lot of people didn't like them being at four because they were, like, the only notable team they beat that year was Notre Dame, I believe.
Right.
And I think they still beat – Houston, which who was a solid team.
Solid,
again, they're
yeah.
still, you know,
yeah.
that conference doesn't exactly match up to the SEC as well as you would want it to. So I think that's the only reason it probably won't be exclusively in conference as much as I want it to be.
Right.
Yeah. But
I think one thing with it expanding to 12 from 4, I think it takes away a lot of the controversy as far as, I mean, don't get me wrong, there's always whoever's 13 to 14 is going to swear up and down that they deserve to be in. But I mean, if you're not one of the best 12 teams, I think it takes away a lot of the controversy as far as, because I feel like every single year when we get to December 3rd, and it's time to pick the teams, we get in this talk of who deserves it most. Or who's the best team? Because when they constructed the playoffs, supposed to be the four best teams. Like any college football fan, you don't have to be a big into college football. You could see that Ohio State was better than Cincinnati last year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But Cincinnati for sure deserved it more. So I think it takes away that element. You know, you get the six highest ranked conference champions in, and I think who it helps the most. Who do y'all, what conference do you think it helps the most?
That's a good question.
I mean,
dude, I think it's SEC. I mean, there's been some years where SEC could have five teams, like literally like five teams in the college football. If you know there's 12 teams.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can also see, like, if there's 12 teams, we're going to have the same debates over those last two teams.
It doesn't matter how many teams there are. There could be 18.
It's still going to be
20,
like,
they should have made
it. Take the NCAA tournament, for example. Was it 64 teams?
Yeah.
And the first four out are like, we're way better than those guys. So it's kind of like, there'll always be that. Which I feel like football is different than basketball, though. Like, if you're not one of the best 12 teams, like, you shouldn't have a you shouldn't be bad about it.
I think there's a little bit more. I think there's less parity in football than there is in basketball, for sure.
Wait, less parity?
Less parity in football.
More dominant teams in
more
football.
Dominant teams in football.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, no doubt.
Yeah.
Because the same teams every year.
I have a question for you guys. How many teams do you think would make a 12-team playoff this year from the SEC? So far, it's early, obviously.
Okay, well, obviously, we have two in automatically.
Yeah.
Maybe A&M.
Alabama, Georgia. I like A&M. I mean, just from a talent standpoint. It's hard to say they won't.
Florida has a chance.
Arkansas.
Florida does now. I did not think Kentucky has a chance.
Has a chance.
Between Arkansas, Florida, Kentucky, and Tennessee, I think two. I don't know which two, but I think two of those teams find a way in.
Yeah. I really hope. I honestly kind of obviously Tennessee is –
Hendon Hooker.
Yeah.
He's pretty good.
I really like Hendon Hooker from what I saw from him. Even last year against Alabama, he honestly had a decent game. Like that did, like it didn't.
That was the closest blowout in history.
Exactly. It didn't show up that score. It was mainly just the first half.
Yeah.
Anyone who was there, they would say that game felt weirdly close, and then it was just nothing the second half.
Yeah. Well, it was like a 4-point game with like 13 minutes left, and then like Bama just, you know.
They
just
kept going.
That game was actually the same score as the Alabama-Ohio State game in the championship. But, like, if you've watched the game, the Tennessee game was much, much closer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, speaking of Alabama, that's enough about playoffs. We want to kind of jump into this week's game, which obviously is Alabama's first big test. So, just a little preview of it. We'll get our predictions towards the very end of the show. What do y'all think? What are y'all's, you know, what are y'all's thoughts on the game?
I'm excited to watch Quinn Ewers. He looked really good against ULM.
Yeah.
He could sling the ball.
You think he's worth the hype?
I mean, it was one game. This is the game we're going to see if it's worth the hype. Yeah. I don't think there's any team you can play other than Alabama where you can really see is this worth the hype.
This is if he's who they say he is.
Yep. So, yeah, I'm excited for that. I'm excited to see Bijan Robinson, see how we contain him. And they got some great wide receivers, too. Sanders.
Jai Hall, really good.
He looked really good with yours. They had a good chemistry. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited to see that.
I agree with the Quinn Ewers thing. I think he just has this, and that was kind of why he was so highly touted in high school. He has just this crazy ability to put the ball accurately no matter what his base is, no matter where he's looking, where his arm slot is. He can put the ball where he wants to. There was this one play against ULM where he was moving up in the pocket. His feet weren't set. He was almost looked like he was running, and he just kind of flicks his arm, and it's a seam route, and I think it's against man.
Yeah.
So he's like, that is a tight window to throw a streak on, from the slot against man, and he puts it on the money.
Yeah.
Literally as much as on the numbers you can get as a quarterback, he puts it there. That was a throw that impressed me. Just his ability, again, to put it where he needs to,
right,
no matter his base, is so impressive to me. Again, I do think the offensive line is going to be a problem
for
Texas.
Yeah,
because they have to deal they have to deal with the best, you know, linebacker in football, maybe the best player in football. And obviously I really liked what I saw from Jalen Moody and DJ Dale against Utah State.
Mm-hmm. Dallas Turner being second best pass rusher says a lot about your team.
Yeah, exactly,
because he's elite.
Yeah, exactly.
He is elite.
I think that obviously, Texas has some big playmakers. Xavier Worthy, he didn't really do much against Louisiana Monroe, but he's their, I think, overall best receiver. Obviously, Bijan Robinson is a first-round talent, and Quinn Ewers, who people talk about as a generational type of talent. So, and with the mind of Steve Sarkisian and all that coming into play, could definitely give Alabama some trouble. But I do think, like you touched on, their offensive line being so young, I think Turner and Braswell – I mean, I'm saying the guys besides Will Anderson, because Will Anderson's going to be Will Anderson.
Yeah,
they call him the Terminator for a big reason.
That guy's not Mr. Beat.
Yeah. But those guys, I think, toe-to-toe, I think our cornerbacks match up with their receivers. Our secondary, I don't know if our secondary is better than our front seven. It's a little like a toss-up. But our secondary, this is by far the most experienced secondary Nick Saban's had.
Yeah.
And that's saying a lot with the guys they got. Even their backups are very experienced. So I think Alabama bodes well in the game for sure. I'm excited to see what Jahmyr Gibbs does. If I had to pick one X player, mine would be Gibbs. Who was y'all's player to watch if you had to pick one player?
I think what I really want to see, or at least from Alabama, again, I think the most important player in the game is going to be Will Anderson, I think, for me. But the player I'm probably going to watch is going to be Kool-Aid, because I want to see that matchup against
Worthy.
Yeah, against Worthy. But I think overall, again, like you said, we match up super well.
Oh, yeah.
I think they're going to have to get the ball out quick, Texas.
For sure.
And, you know, it's a Steve Sarkisian offense. There's lots of RPOs.
Yeah.
It's just about if Quinn Ewers can be the guy to get it done, which we have yet to find out. I think we'll figure it out this game.
Yeah, I don't think Bama goes without a sack or a forced turnover this game. I bet that changes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. Steve Sarkisian runs a complex, hard to figure out offense. But
yeah, I agree.
We also have one of the best.
A la 2020 Bama.
Exactly. We still have the best defensive college coach ever, or the best college coach ever.
So I think Pete Golden gets a bad rep. I think he's better than
he's improved.
Definitely he's for sure improved.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to watch the offense again. Kobe Prentice, I got my eyes on again this week.
Yeah.
I think he's going to show out.
I think he's going to be big game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Just continuing to grow. I mean, he already shocked me in the first game how good he was, how athletic, fast.
For to be that young.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah. I think Bryce Young makes a statement this week.
I agree.
More than last week.
Even more than last week. Why not?
Yeah, you remember that Texas LSU game with Burrow? came in and threw like three touchdowns at Jefferson. Yeah. This might be, which Bryce has already won a Heisman, but this might be that. Hey, Heisman number two.
Yeah. I think he's proved himself already in that department, but I think it's going to be a lot about the, because again, like I said earlier, there's a lot of hype for CJ Stroud being quarterback one in the class. And I think this is going to be a big game for him in putting himself above CJ Stroud.
Yeah, I agree.
And I know the Bama players are fired up for this game.
Oh,
they are
fired up for this game, dude. No doubt. No doubt. They should be.
Yeah.
So I hope they, I hope Ajayi Hall has the worst game possible.
Yeah.
Obviously, Billingsley won't get to play, but I would have wished him a bad game as well. But yeah, with that preview, we're going to take one last break, come back, give a quick preview of college football this weekend besides Bama and Texas, and then we're going to give our Bama-Texas predictions to wrap up the show. So we will be right back.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
All right, we are back on to wrap up the show. We're going to real quick dive in, give a preview of this week's college football slate. So what are some of the games that you guys are looking at that you think are going to be interesting besides Bama, Texas?
I'm looking at Kentucky, Florida. Florida's a 6.5-point favorite. Looking at for Anthony Richardson to have another huge game. Florida at home, I expect them to get a win this week.
How close do you think the game will be?
I think Florida can win by 10 points.
Okay.
I think it's going to be closer than that. I am, but I will say Kentucky Florida, I'm so excited about it. I'm excited about Will Levis versus Anthony Richardson. Will Levis is also a guy that I'm a big fan of in terms
he's
of
pretty good.
Quarterbacks in SEC. I think he'll be good this
he's
year.
Pretty good. I think that is a one-possession game.
Exactly. I think it's one-possession game. Kentucky can throw the ball. They can't run the ball, unfortunately. They were pretty rough last week, and I think Florida is going to force Will Levis to be the guy this game.
Right. I agree.
Exactly. So I really hope that it is competitive. I hope Will Levis can be the guy. But it'll be interesting to see how this game goes. I really think it could go either way.
Yeah. The game that I'm interested in is the Tennessee-Pittsburgh game, which also is another top 25 matchup for an SEC team. Obviously, Kentucky and Florida are both SEC teams.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I think that this – is an early statement really for either one of these teams.
Mm-hmm.
But I think with Tennessee, where they're at with Heupel and with Hendon Hooker and some of the talent that they have, I think, which is every year, you know, but I think a lot of Tennessee fans really feel like this team, maybe not, you know, national championship, but has a chance to win the SEC East, compete with Georgia,
mm-hmm.
beat Florida, maybe win the SEC championship, which is a stretch, but I think they have a chance. So I'm really looking forward to that game. I think it's a road game for Tennessee. But I do think Hendon Hooker and company, I think they're going to get that one. I think it's going to be close, maybe 38, 35. But I think Tennessee is going to find a way to win that game.
Tennessee's favored by 6 points.
Are they really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Interesting. I really like Tennessee,
that's a
man.
Bit. That's kind of,
it's a lot. I was shocked when I saw that.
Yeah. On the road is crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Hendon Hooker in that offense, man, I'm a big fan of. He has shown flashes of really being able to sling the ball down the field.
He's good.
And all Tennessee wants to do is throw the ball way mm-hmm. down the field.
Yeah.
And it's fun to watch. And, you know, Hendon Hooker's the guy that can do it.
So. Yeah, for sure.
I agree. Well, that's kind of a minor preview. We gave our preview on the Bama, Texas. Before we wrap up, I want to get your guys' kind of in-depth prediction of the game. What do you think is going to happen? What do you think the score is going to be? What do you think is going to be the deciding factor of the game?
I think it's going to come down to, again, like I said earlier, that offensive line versus that defensive line.
Yeah.
I think if Texas wants any chance, they're going to that offensive line is going to have to step up.
Yeah.
Then again, I think they're going to have to get the ball out quick. It's going to force Quinn Ewers to be good, to really step up, because that defensive line in that box is going to, I really think they're going to do well against Bijan Robinson, as talented as he is.
I agree.
But I don't know, man.
What's your score?
Hey, what's your score?
I'm going to say 41-14.
41-14. That's respectable. What do you got?
I'm going to go with 48-17.
And I think we're all in that same range. I'm going to give them a little more. I'm going to give them 20 points.
Wow.
I was saying 41-20. I will go up. I'll go up 44-20. Field goal difference, not really big deal. But
yeah.
I think that going into halftime that the game will be competitive.
I agree 100%.
I don't think that Bama comes out. I don't think it's 21-0 after the first quarter. I think it's respectable enough where Texas has somewhat of a fighter's chance in the second half.
Yeah.
But I do think in that third quarter and fourth quarter that Bama wears them down and takes it home. So that's all we got for you. We'll be back next week to talk some more college football.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.